look at your young men dying the way they've always done before.
G'day Tiger fans and welcome to Richmond's live weekly podcast Talking Tigers. While it's been a tough start to the year for the Tigers, the TT team remain upbeat and ready to entertain Tone. On this week's show, we chat Mike's top 50 Tigers, the Chief returns, and Tone's tidbits take on an Anzac Day theme. Boys, how are we all?
Yeah, we've been better, I suppose. I'm just trying to get my head... What is that song?
That is Civil War, Tony.
Well, what's the... Why Civil... We are fighting amongst ourselves, are we?
No. Surely you know who Guns N' Roses are.
Well, I know that the lead singer's gone to become the lead singer at ACDC.
That's right.
Yeah, I know that.
Yep.
I can't get my head around that.
I'm not sure about him going to ACDC, but yeah. JB, that is a great song. Civil War, Guns N' Roses.
Over at Coachella at the moment.
They've just made Guns their comeback Roses. This weekend at a festival in California.
Be nice to just drop by there for a couple of days and
would
come
be nice.
Back.
Would be nice.
Not really familiar with them, to be honest.
Okay. Actually, you don't know Guns N' Roses?
Well, I've heard of them, but I'm not familiar with their music because I'm not interested in it.
Well, they're back.
Because it's after 1982.
Their original lineup was back That's on true. The weekend at Coachella.
Right.
And Angus Young actually got up and played with them because Axel is going to be filling in for Brian Johnson on the rest of ACDC's European tour.
Mm. Well, there
anyway,
you go.
So there you go. And it's Civil War and it's Anzac Day this week.
Thank you, Molly.
You see the little
link
there?
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yep.
Beautiful.
I'm with you now.
Now, you can get involved with the show, JB, as always, hashtag Talking Tigers, or give
That's
us
right.
a call, 9426-4423. We love your feedback and we want to be interactive with our fans out there. So give us a tweet or a call a bit later on when we have the quiz.
That's right. And there's a tweet come through already during the week from Neil Lardner.
Right.
And he has said...
oh, Scott has...
That's no sting.
He's falling down. Oh, Neil, it's been a big week.
He's working hard in here since...
No, that's right.
Pikelets has gone. He's taken on Pikelets' responsibility.
How is Pikelets going?
No, he's moved on.
Has anyone heard?
No, well,
we've all
sure.
moved on.
Just going.
Okay, right.
Anyway, Neil wanted to say...
There we go.
That's a lie.
Neil wanted to say...
I didn't realise we're working on delay.
A Perth time.
Oh, okay.
Neil said congrats on 150 games to Sean Grigg last week.
Yes.
Saying he's the best player out of Ballarat since Plugger Lockett.
Gee.
That's
There's been a few good players out of Ballarat.
Very good.
Yeah. Well done to Griggy. 150 games.
No, that's a great achievement.
Will he make Mike's top 50, though?
I'm running out of time.
I'm not sure that he's in Mike's top 50.
What have you thought of it, though, so far?
I think it's open to debate, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
But that's what he wants, Mike. He loves that sort of... No, I think it's pretty reasonable so far. I just want to run a few past you because you would have played with a few of those blokes.
Yeah.
So coming in at number 50 was Andrew Callaway. What sort of a player was Andy Callaway?
Oh, great team man, a fantastic clubman. Never the sort of bloke to get down in the dumps, so he kept the locker room up and about, that's for sure.
Very good sense of humour,
very
dry.
Funny man, dry. And just a great man, Chubba.
Is he a fireman now?
He is a fireman now.
Okay.
He does a bit of landscaping as well.
Okay.
But just a tremendously courageous player, like his brother Duncan.
He came off the sup list, which was the old sup list right? Played in our reserves grand final win, I think, in the late 90s.
Yeah.
Went on and became an All-Australian and won a Jack Dye medal.
He did. No, he was outstanding, Andy Callaway. Great mark, great intercept mark.
Yep. Now, what about... Tony, did you play with Tony Free at all?
I played with Tony. Yeah. He was captain.
Yeah, and then he had his, obviously, huge injury problems with the knee and everything.
A few weeks after yours, too, wasn't
it? Yeah, before me.
Before.
That's right,
before.
Just gutsy. Tremendous. Hard at it, Tony Free. One of the toughest players I played with, I reckon.
Was he a big talker out on the field, or just sort of
led by example?
Now, here's a bloke I'm not all that familiar with, and this bloke might be a bit lucky, actually, to have crept into the top 50. Bloke who's now at Hawthorn, Chris Newman.
At 47?
Yeah, do you think he's a bit high? Do you think he should be in?
Of course he should be in.
I'm just warning him.
Old Balls Newman.
Yeah.
Just a great bloke and a terrific, consistent player.
What was his main attribute as a player?
I think just at half-back, his ability to, use that left-foot leg of his. He was a nice kick, Newey, and just a great person to have at half-back.
He didn't panic either, did he?
No, I didn't panic.
He was cool under pressure.
Yep.
Now, another mate of yours, Kane Sugar Johnson.
Yes.
Right?
Should have won Norm Smith medal, Sugar.
He did win one, didn't he? Oh, no, he didn't.
Andrew McLeod.
No, of course, McLeod did. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Kane told us in a taxi ride once from King's Cross into the city in Sydney.
That would have been interesting, yeah. Taxi drive.
Yep. On an end-of-year trip.
Yeah.
He told us in no uncertain terms on that taxi ride that he should have got the Norm Smith. And when we said, oh, McLeod played okay, yeah. He reckons that he fed him all day. He was the reason.
Well, that was his first season of footy, I think.
He won two premierships.
How good a player was he?
Kane.
Yes.
Very good player.
The same Kane Johnson.
You know what he was? He had great vision and he saw the game before anyone else saw it.
Yep, okay.
Hey, I want to ask you about one.
Yes, go for it.
The first player that's actually still playing as we speak to come into the list at number 34 was Dusty Martin.
Yep.
Do you reckon that's about right?
I think that's pretty fair. I think I reckon if Mike was doing his top 50 in another 5 years or
he'd be a bit higher.
He would be higher. But I think Dusty's had an incredible impact from the time he's come in from his first season in 2010.
Yep. And a couple more.
Yep.
Maybe your era greeners. Yes. Bruce Monteith, our last premiership captain's come in at 44.
Look, and he was an extremely good player. Now, he is unfairly probably mentioned to the fact that he sat on the bench in the 1980 Grand Final as captain, but he'd had real injury problems that year and was probably, fortunate that he got in and played in that game. He was an incredibly skillful player, a goal kicker, a real, real talent, Bruce Monteith. Very, very good player indeed.
Mm-hmm. And another from that great era who probably not as familiar as some of the bigger names who are probably still to come is Billy Brown. Tell us
you
about him
Billy.
As a player.
Yeah, well, Billy Brown was actually earlier. So Billy played in 67 with your dad, Matty, and in 69 Grand Final, his premiership side. Billy started off as a winger, and then he became second rover to KB.
Yeah.
Very, very smart player, quick and a goal kicker.
Dad rated him highly.
He's a really good player, Billy
very
Brown.
Very good player. You can get involved with the top 50 on the website. Check it out.
Right.
Up to 33 as we speak. Paul Broderick coming in at 33, who was the worst dresser I've ever seen in my
still
time.
Wears those thin leather ties, I think.
Well, they've
he?
Sort of come back in, so he's got
the
thick ones.
Floral. The thick floral
terrible
ones,
fashion sense.
So you can still get involved in that at richmondfc.com.au/Mike, and you got until Friday, I believe, until you can lodge your top five Tigers.
And you can win a couple of tickets to a President's Lunch in round 7.
You eat with dine with Mike.
You dine
that's
with
right.
Mike.
Much to Mike's surprise last week. But also, I think a couple of change room passes have been thrown into that mix as well.
Beautiful.
So get involved there.
Now, we need to bring something up here, Tone. You're going to be very disappointed with this.
What is that?
We had trouble with Pikelets over the years.
For getting
himself onto the green stuff.
Yeah, and getting way ahead of himself.
Getting ahead of himself, walking behind shot when people are filming things to get his big bonts on camera.
Yep.
Now, some disturbing reports coming out of Perth on the weekend.
Oh, no.
Our digital crew, JB, was over there with Matty, who's taken up the slack that Pikelets has left behind.
And there was a fair bit of slack.
There was.
Let's be honest.
Slack.
Now, at training, JB had his own cheer squad at training.
What?
His own cheer squad.
You
chanting
can't be serious.
His name.
Are you making this up?
No, I'm not. And JB was very happy with this.
Was not
wobbling
happy.
Around at training
did
over there.
Did they think he was a player or did they know what he was doing?
No, they knew what I was doing.
They knew what he was doing, but so that was happening.
Oh, no.
And then on the return home at the airport in Perth, Matt was seen signing autographs.
Oh, no. No. Do you not learn from Pikelets? You know how that ended up. It was a very, very sad ending.
I think Matty said to me that he said, you know I'm not a player.
And you still signed
it. But I'll sign it anyway.
You still signed it.
No.
So I'm...
Well, hang on. JB, can you explain yourself?
Well, I was over there on the boundary line taking a few photos of training and whatnot and... It's just the school holidays over in Perth at the moment. So there's a group of young men, probably around the 14 to 16-year-old mark.
Right. Did they look like nerds?
No, not nerds at all.
Right.
Just giving me a bit of advice on how they might do things or, just some general feedback on my person.
Well, it's a disgrace, and you should have shut them down straight away. That's what I say.
Oh, for sure. Did someone yell out? What were they yelling out to you?
They wanted to get... They wanted to know why I wasn't uploading as many photos as probably they would have.
Yeah.
And I told them that the light was no good.
Right.
Which is not what you want to tell a group of young kids.
No, Did they yell out, show us your battery or something? What did they...
My battery was running low too. So.
Oh, no. So, boys, you're...
Oh, no.
And then on the way out, we got to the car And they're there surrounding the car, chanting and shaking the car.
Well, mate, this is not too much. You should have shut them down, and that's the end of it.
Consider yourself severely castigated.
We can't put up with that sort of behaviour.
Not at all. Not at all. Now, speaking of poor behaviour.
Very poor.
Right? Very, very poor behaviour. A couple of weeks ago on the show, right, and I was still invalid at home, still struggling a bit, but anyway. Yeah. Anyway, that's beside the point. It's another story. But you had a go at our fitness man.
I did.
Right, performance, what is his official title? High performance manager, Peter Burge. Mm. And it was a disgrace, right? So I think you've got something.
Well, it was.
An apology?
Yeah, Burge wasn't happy, and he had a meeting with the CEO, Brendan Gale.
And you know that Brendan is channeling GR because he got rid of Pikelets, and you're a bit worried.
So I've been told to issue a formal apology to Burge.
Is
so
this sincere? How sincere will it be?
It is. I'm going to read this statement. Okay. I'm Matthew Richardson, 13-time winner of Richmond's Leading Goal Kicker Award, 2007 Jack Dyer medalist, member of the Tigers Team of the Century, Club Hall of Fame inductee, and yellow and black icon. Wish to unreservedly apologise to the club's physical performance manager, Peter Burge, for comments I made on the edition of Talking Tigers 2 weeks ago. I in no way was being serious when I mentioned that Burgey could follow Pikelet's path and be sacked by our suddenly turned ruthless esteemed leader, the Chief, if injuries to players at Tigerland persisted. It was cheap, it was a throwaway line which admittedly did not induce a good deal of mirth and joviality from the assembled crew within the TT studios at the time. Notwithstanding that, I was mortified when I found out Burgey did not see the funny side of what I had said. I had no intention whatsoever of tainting Burgey's burgeoning brand. He is an excellent physical performance manager and it's a significant upgrade on his predecessor, Matty, the personal trainer, Hornsby. Hopefully that clears this matter up and Burgey can get on with his job of getting our players to a peak level of fitness, free from the unnecessary distractions emanating from those who should know better.
Well, you should know better. And that is the most insincere apology I have ever heard.
No, seriously, I do mean it.
Really?
No, I didn't mean to say that. Jeez, it was stupid throwaway line.
Because you wrote it well. It's good
anyway,
words in there.
No, I didn't realise I could write that well.
Besmirch?
Anyway, there's the apology.
No, that's magnificent. Absolutely magnificent.
Now,
he's just a little bit behind.
He's just off. He's on Perth time. I think you're right.
There's someone trying to take the building down upstairs.
Don't.
What is it?
Don't.
That noise.
Don't even joke about
it. If anyone can hear that noise, I'm not sure what
it is.
It
might be the barbecue firing up.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
There's something, there's some building work going on above us here, so sorry for that. Tone, it's quiz time.
Matty. Yep.
Sure, go. You're going to read it out.
Oh, I'm reading it out.
Yeah.
Give us a call here, 94264423.
All right. Now, today's quiz question is, we want to know the Melbourne Grand Final player who subsequently went on and joined Richmond and played 5 games for the Tigers in the early 90s.
Okay.
So it's a Melbourne... He played in the Grand Final for Melbourne and then crossed over here in the early 90s and played 5 senior games.
And you couldn't get this one, JB, could you?
Oh, he eventually got it.
Oh, he got it in the end.
Missing a letter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Played for Melbourne in a Grand Final and then came to Richmond, played 5 games. Give us a call, 9426-4423.
And now we got a few emails and tweets come through.
You got mail.
First email, well, the only real email this week came from Fred Hiskins last night, and he goes, "G'day, boys. I've been a big fan of the show for a while now. I've never written in before now, so it's great to hear from the fans out there."
Yep. Long time, first time.
That's right. Mm. So Fred goes on a bit just about the media exposure to Koch and how that's...
which is completely over the
that's
top.
That's right. Now they've moved their focus onto Dimmer. Anyway, and Fred goes on... about the poor start to the year. And then he says we shouldn't be proud of our poor starts.
Well, no one is.
In the last couple of years, which has hit the nail on the head, absolutely. But we should feel confident in the knowledge that the whole team, coaches included, have the guts and know-how to bounce back, which is good. And he urges all Tigers fans have a big role to play in this, and we should get down to the MCG in droves this Sunday night for the Melbourne clash on the weekend and show them what this team is really capable of. On a brighter note... It's great to see the likes of Daniel Rioli working his way with another 2 goals and Camden McIntosh's fantastic performances running off half-back to name but 2. So plenty of encouraging stuff
there. That's a good point.
but need to get the job done against Melbourne this week.
Well, he makes a good point that there are positives out of any situation. And Daniel Rioli, with two goals from not many chances the other night, I thought he's showing in his first few games that he's going to be an elite crummer.
Yep.
Because that goal last week against the Crows and the goals on the weekend showed that he's got a good sense around
goals. He got nominated for Goal of the Year. That one in the third quarter.
And Camden's been great at half
back. Can I just talk a bit more about Daniel Rioli?
Please.
Because I just loved it. It was just vintage Rioli, wasn't it? It was just the sort of goal that Cyril would have... Cyril or Morris. You know? So the ball come up was a marking, big pack, marking contest. Ball spilled. He swooped on it. Was tackled, fell to the ground, sprang straight back up, dodged a couple of West Coast opponents, and then snapped truly.
His ability to get back to his feet.
Very impressive.
How quick was that?
I loved it. And you mentioned Camden. I think Camden's ranked number 17 or something in the comp for rebound 50s. He had nine. He had nine on Friday night.
He's down there a bit.
Yeah, well, was, but still, doing everything he could to get it out, back out. But no, he's been very good too.
So Redhead off the Twitter line has picked up on Daniel Rioli.
I wonder if Redhead was in the Ginger Pride March the other day. It was a big Ginger Pride March the other day, yeah.
Cameron Ling was the ambassador.
Was he in the march?
He was the ambassador.
Potentially.
Was Jack there?
No.
And Redhead's picked up on Daniel Rioli's goal, and so it's great to see him improving every week.
Yep.
On the youngsters theme, Colin Weekends has written in, I thought the young blokes played their roles well. What's the panel's thoughts on them?
Yeah, well, Corey Ellis had, I think it would have been a career high, only his ninth
21
game or something.
Disposals.
Yeah, it was only his ninth game, so I think he's showing some really good signs.
I think the positive for Corey was that, you know, he hadn't been finding a lot of the ball.
But if you're getting 20-21, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, it was, what I'm saying. It was
and
a
he
good,
uses it so well.
Good step up for him to actually find a bit of the ball, and he'll get confidence out of that now, knowing that he can accumulate possession.
Definitely.
Benny Cashin flying over this weekend for the game against Melbourne.
Yeah.
Against Sunday night. He reckons it's the perfect stage to turn things around.
Yep.
Jess Benson from Tassie's written in that she's appalled by the comments from Jonathan Brown about Brooke Cotchin's defence of her husband. Mm. And the Herald Sun would be best to stay out of it.
Yeah. No, well done. Well said, Jess. One of our favourite listeners down in Tassie. Thanks for that, Jess.
Right. Yep.
And Phil Priachla, hope I've pronounced that correctly.
Yeah, it'll do.
It seems that our slow ball movement out of defence doesn't work against teams that use zones well. Need it over the back quickly. What are your thoughts
on
that?
Well, of course, when you say slow ball movement, no team wants to move the ball slowly, so I'm sure that'd be something they'd be addressing this week. You do need to move it quickly to try and break through.
I think what's made it... Obviously, the umpires have really cracked down on the 15-metre kicks, you know, more than ever. So that's an issue for any team.
Yeah, it is.
Wants to go short because they're calling play on, so often, yeah.
And the final tweet for this segment is Steve Graham has written in and says, Melbourne's improved a lot and will be tough, but we can eat them alive.
We can.
Yeah, it's as simple as that.
Yep.
Now, Josh, you got some pretty important club news today.
I do, and we'll start off the top with something that's not great at all and something that we don't like putting out there, but the club is mourning the passing of young footballer Patrick Cronin, who was the victim of a senseless act of violence out at Diamond Creek on...
Coward punch.
Yeah, coward punch from behind, allegedly. So the Cronin family are strong members of the club and involved heavily down at the Research Footy Club in Lowell Plenty.
Yeah.
So from our footy club to theirs and to the family and friends of Patrick, we send our best. And
absolutely, our deepest sympathies. It's just a tragic event,
terrible. Not really much more we can say about it than that.
We're certainly
thinking of them.
The lives of many affected by...
I think a former coach, Terry Wallace, is actually a close family friend of the Cronin, so we're thinking of everyone involved.
Absolutely, we are.
This week, we're playing against Melbourne. It is our away game in the Anzac Eve clash. The pre-game ceremony... from 6:40 p.m. on the Sunday night. So they'll be lighting the flame. There'll be horses involved this time.
I can live with this.
Horse brigades. Mm. And the players will be running through a joint banner. So while it is Melbourne's home game, we urge all Richmond supporters to get down there.
We want this to become a real show.
It was amazing last year.
It was fantastic last year.
I loved it.
Pre-game
ceremony. It had a great atmosphere at night, and the lights and the ceremony was fantastic.
That's right. So they got the last post and all that happening again. Kids can come free to this game, so if you register your child at richmondfc.com.au/kidsfree, you'll be able to pick up...
Well, it's great because they've got the next day off.
That's right, that's right. So late Sunday night, get your kids involved and get your free tickets.
Now, before we get into Chief Watch, because it's extraordinary this week, we just need to find out who is available this week. There's a few injuries floating around.
Yeah, well, a couple of guys from the game last week in Sean Hampson with the quad cork. And Dave Asprey with the rolled ankle. Both are in contention for this week still, so they'll face fitness tests later in the week. With us playing Sunday night, we'll name a squad on Thursday, and it'll be narrowed down on the Friday night, so there's still a lot of time between now and the game.
Good news for Dave, because when he did it, you said, oh, no, not another major injury for him. But that's certainly good news.
It is. Is Lids a chance or not?
Still listed as TBC,
but he's
out. I've
been asking this question for the last 5 weeks.
I know, but I want him out there.
Of course, we all do.
Well, he's out there at the moment training with the main group.
Is he?
He's kicking the big footy, which I saw. And there's been a few tweets and a couple of emails just seeing where Nathan Drummond is at.
It was in that game last year against Melbourne.
It's a year to the date that he's done his knee. And he's still listed as TBC, and people think that there might have been a setback or something, but...
He's young and there's no point to take any chance.
Exercising a bit of caution with him.
That's right. So there's been no setback. He actually is out there doing the main drills as well, which I just saw. So that's a positive, but the time frame is still nothing certain, but things are progressing well.
There's another youngster with big raps on him too, Nathan Drummond. Yeah.
Just before I get into the Chief, a tweet's just come through from our mate Simon Wallace, and I like this one. He says, great win by the VFL lads, but surely Lids won't be going anywhere near a VFL game. And he says, Fala never returned to Tuchuka. And that is spot on. Lids will be going straight into the AFL.
Really? Okay. No Lids at Frankston?
No. No, you don't send Lids down to Frankston.
Really?
No.
You take the lovely down there for a nice weekend.
Little souvlaki down there. Now, brace yourself, Tone.
Oh, no.
Put your seatbelt on.
Now, people think, there are some people out there that think we make some of this up.
This is not made up.
None of this is made up.
I guarantee you, this is not made up. So just strap yourself in, boys.
Here we go.
Because as we know, the boys got the red eye home from Perth last week. Now, it's bad enough getting the red eye.
It's bad.
Particularly when you have a loss. But even worse, when it gets delayed by 3 hours, JB. You were over there.
I was on the plane.
You were on the plane.
And then off the plane.
Yeah.
And we had some time to kill.
So that's what happened. The boys got onto the plane. They were then told to get off the plane.
What time was this?
This is at...
1:30 Melbourne time. 1:30, so 11:30.
So off the plane. Now, the airport's normally shutting down at this point. The red eyes are obviously the last flights. So the Virgin Lounge, where people go and relax before the flight, was going to be shut. But the great staff there in the Virgin Lounge reopened the lounge for the boys to go back in.
Yeah, that's very good.
Appreciate it.
Which is good. Very now, you might have noticed on the Channel 7 coverage near the end of the game, there was a photo of the a shot of the Chief in the rooms on his phone.
Yeah, I did notice that.
It's now come to light.
I thought it might have been Dial of Prayer. I wasn't sure what he was
doing. He was calling ahead to the Virgin Lounge.
Oh, no.
To Sandra, who he knows there in the lounge.
Yeah, Sandra.
Letting her know that on the way over, his pyjamas were only... large, and he requested extra large for the flight home. So that explains that. So that's the first part of this.
That's fine.
So anyway, the Virgin Lounge has been reopened in Perth. The guys have gone back into the lounge, and it was noted that one particular staff member of the lounge would not leave the Chief's side. Is this correct?
I'm not too sure. I didn't report this. I think someone else might have put this one in.
He insisted that he have this one person in the lounge looking after him the whole time while he was sitting there, getting his pyjamas.
Sandra.
Organising his snacks, his toasted sandwiches.
It was like his own PA on the floor.
That's his own PA.
Oh,
now, the great Wayne Carey was also in the lounge, a man that's probably nearly the best player to ever play the game.
Acknowledged there,
No extra staff on for him. The greatest player of all time, in my opinion, in Wayne Carey.
No.
In fact, the Duck even gave up his business class seat to Sean Hampson, who had the corkies.
That's very decent.
So that shows the difference in sort of work here between our man, the Chief, and the Duck. So anyway,
that's where it stops.
It doesn't stop there.
Surely. There can't be any more to
this. The flight's finally called, 2 hours late?
Yep. It was about 2 a.m. Melbourne time. So
I have it on very good authority that the last sighting of the Chief was him walking out of the lounge towards the gate to get onto the plane with Sandra still next to him. In fact, Sandra was carrying his carry-on luggage onto the plane for him.
Oh, no.
And that is no lie.
Oh, no.
He then took his seat in business class. All right. Sandra puts his bag up and then departs the plane.
She didn't stay on the plane and help him off. She didn't help him off the plane.
Thanks, so Brendan had his own personal assistant from Virgin carrying his luggage on.
There is no end to this.
No, that's it. So just incidentally, you know who was on that plane in business class?
Grant Hackett?
Linford Christie.
Oh, really?
The great Linford Christie was on the flight.
Is that right?
Anyway, that's cheap. Yes, it's that time of the week where we have a chat to Brenton Mann and talk all things VFL. Now, Brent, before we get into it was a good win by the VFL boys. I like your sting. I do like it.
Well, I don't.
It's the great Glenn Fry from the Eagles.
Yeah, but I'd specifically asked you, Manfred, last week to come up with something from Manfred Mann. And this is what
you
came up
with. It's not your sting, Tony. I'm happy with it.
It's not your sting, Tone.
No, fair enough.
I left the blue sweater at home at your request.
Thank goodness
for that. I've got the polo on.
I thought you'd come straight from...
I've got the speak-in cans. I feel like I've got to buzz the tower. And,
I thought you came from a fruit-picking episode. That jumper last week.
The great Axel Foley, Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah, fair enough.
Okay, all right.
It was a good win, mate.
It was a good win. 78-point turnaround and a 52-point win over the 2014 VFL Premiers was a nice way to get the season... Not back on track, but kickstart the season.
So how did it come about? Because we were down early.
We were down early, but we were controlling the ball, but just failing with that last kick inside 50. So Fly spoke about it quarter time, just running into predictable areas and kicking into predictable areas. Mm-hmm. And when we started to do that and our pressure increased, the goals just started flowing.
And the first win for Fly as VFL coach this year, how excited was he for it?
Fly was beaming after the game. I tell you what, he was jumping around. It was really good. He was really impressed with the boys, and he spoke about it's been building over the last probably 3 or 4 weeks, and it was a great reward for effort for the boys.
Yep. Can I ask you about Jaden Short? Because obviously he was dropped from the previous week, and he had to get the red eye back.
He did.
The delayed red eye.
Yeah, the delayed red eye. How did he go?
Super duper red eye.
I think he landed about 9 a.m. in the morning.
Is that right?
And then he came out and had 21 disposals, 16 under contested possessions, and kicked 2 goals. And was really clean with the ball and set up a lot of our forays forward.
He might be straight back in then.
Yeah, I think he will be straight back in. I don't want to preempt match committee, but...
I guess with Asprey's ankle in his race against time with a test, someone like Jake Batchelor comes into contention. How did he play last weekend?
Yeah, Jake was super, especially in the first quarter when we weren't really getting our game up and going. He was the one that was a few intercept marks, and he really set up our plays from down back. And, 11 marks, 19 disposals is strong contention.
Anthony Miles, I think a lot of Tigers supporters may have been a little bit surprised that he was omitted. He probably hasn't been omitted since he started a couple of years ago, but he was outstanding, I believe.
He was, and I got slammed by a few family members for his omission. I don't know, I don't do match committee, but a few Tiger fans were perplexed, but 30 disposals, 12 tackles, 9 clearances, and 15 handball receives, show he was doing it on the inside and the outside. We actually spoke to Fly after the game about Miles' game.
Oh, look, I thought he started slowly, but come in the second quarter when the game was there to be won, he was one that put his hand up and he ended up with 12 tackles or something like that. So he was really important and looks ready to play AFL footy again.
Very good. Now, what about big Ivy? How did Ivy go?
Ivy was running, covering the ground well, had 11 hitouts, 11 disposals. And when he was moved into the ruck, he was moving into the ruck probably halfway through the second quarter. Mm. And that's where we really started to get a dominance around the clearances.
Mm. So did he play the whole game?
He did. He played the whole game.
Well, he needed the run because obviously he looks like he will come into the AFL team this week with Hammer probably struggling to come up.
Yeah, he certainly will. And it'd be a welcome return for Big Ivan. It's going to be a big task. Big Maxi Gorn's in good form at AFL level, but I'm sure he'll be up to it.
Now, I was excited, boys, when I looked at the scores on Sunday because I've been waiting for my boy.
You're back on the bandwagon.
I'm back on.
You went off for a while.
The string bean.
You were off for a while, but you're right back on now.
No, I'm back on. I am a man that tends to jump on and off certain things at time, but he was outstanding.
He was outstanding. It was more, he kicked 5 goals, which we know he can do, but it was his contested work in the air and his ability to work and present up the ground and took 8 marks, 2 contested, and it was just clean with the ball and few classy snaps as well, and really led the forward line well.
Nice. A few of the younger boys, how did they go? Townsend, Marcon Castagna, who have been pretty good in the VFL so far this year, they continue that on?
Yeah, there was a bunch of them. Nathan Broad played his best game for the club. Jacob Townsend played his first VFL game and was really impressive inside and outside.
Yep.
Oleg Markov on a wing was really impressive. He's a great link-up player.
Yeah.
Marks well overhead. He's quick, athletic, quick, covers the ground really well, and he's been really impressive over this preseason.
Yeah, and Georgie
Castagna played more forward due to Miles and Townsend being in.
Yep.
Finds the footy, got 17 disposals, kicked one goal too, and his pressure was outstanding.
Yeah, now another one one that I'm very interested in, because I think we could jump on this kid's bandwagon.
Oh, really?
Butler. How did Butler go? Yes.
Butler! Mm. On the buses, he was...
Yeah, I'll get you, Butler.
Green reminds me of a bit of Blakey on the buses.
I'm about as miserable.
Dan Butler was impressive. It was he built on his work that he's done over the preseason, coming back from suspension. Look, it wasn't his best game, but he was a solid contributor.
He's got a good hairstyle too. I like that. He's going to get noticed.
Butler.
He's got a bit of a man bun.
He's got the man bun going.
Surfy.
He's got a lot of ability. Yeah.
He's good. I like the look of him. What's he go this week? Where are we?
We are Frank's the Noble Saturday.
Oh yes.
Yes. So make your way down. Anzac Day weekend.
Yeah. Traditional rivals.
Traditional rivals. Yeah. Richmond and Frankston.
Yeah. Tigers and Dolphins.
How do you tie that in, Tone?
It's a new tradition.
Okay. Frankston. When did they start? Frankston. They wouldn't have been in the old VFA, were they?
Yeah, Frankston would have been.
Reece Jones. How far back though?
Oh.
We wouldn't have played them in the VFA,
not back in the 1800s.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm asking you, Tone. Fair dinkum, I thought you were our history buff around here. Anyway, we didn't play Frankston in the VFA.
I thought that was just common sense that they wouldn't have been in the old VFA. You wouldn't have had to ask the question, you
know. Nah, they're not. That was stupid, I admit.
So Saturday, April 23rd, 2 p.m, Frankston Oval. Get down there.
Yeah. We'll go down for the long weekend Peninsula and have a nice time.
Hot Springs.
Great idea.
Love to.
I'll be down at Phillip Island, so I'll just make the trek. I guess we'll be down and across, and it'd be great.
Beautiful.
Look forward to your report next week.
Thanks,
Manfred. Thanks for coming.
Good work, Manfred.
We're going to run with that new
It's stuck. You can keep your sting if we can call you Manfred.
Yeah, all right. We'll go with that.
Righto. Now, Tom, one of the best things about living in an apartment is the view.
Well, I love a good view.
Yeah, it is. And when your apartment building is one of the highest points in Melbourne, that's some kind of view.
How high?
Very high. This is where Caden will be building their brand new Ivanhoe apartments, right up on the hill, just up the road in Ivanhoe.
Oh, that's a great area.
And all those great views you'll have from the garden, from the pool, it'll be luxury living, whatever way you look at it.
Oh, I can't wait. Yep. Just got to leave the missus first.
When you come back down from the clouds, you'll be close enough to get all the Tigers games in.
Yeah.
Just up the road it is.
Via public transport.
Yeah. So you've got to contact caden.com.au to find out more about the Ivanhoe apartments, and you can buy one from 360 to 500K.
Right, I'm going online now.
Get on, mate. I can't wait to come check out your apartment, Tone.
Oh, I better apologise.
You'll be able to play all your old vinyl, and won't you?
Vinyl's back in.
Yeah,
vinyl's huge these days.
It is.
I'm very happy I've kept them all.
Now, boys, we better have a look at the game. What did you make of it, Tone? You were back at home watching.
Yeah, no, it was hard going.
It was a tough one.
It was really, really tough, yeah. I mean, I suppose the positive was that our leaders who have been criticised were clearly our best players on the night.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's pretty hard to win games. You only get eight inside 50s in a half. It's pretty hard.
Yeah, they do play that ground extraordinarily well. If you don't win out of the middle there, which we didn't earlier, they had first use. It's pretty hard to then break through. And, you know, as we talked about before, too much handball early and flipped it around a bit too much, and they made us pay, but I thought the leaders were outstanding. The amount of ball inside their 50, Alex Rance to keep a common medalist to two goals.
That's a super job.
And I thought he won all their key one-on-one battles, so Rancey led from the front, and Jack, from limited opportunities to kick four goals, you couldn't have asked so much more out of him.
And we mentioned Camden McIntosh before with his nine rebound 50s and... I thought Dave Aspie, before he got injured, was going, you know, was okay too. I mean,
Darling kicked a few late, but that was after Dave went off.
Well, you were down there at ground level, Richo. What did you take away from, you know, what West Coast were putting in place and how much of a struggle we had trying to get past that?
Every team presses up now and defends that way, but that ground is a lot narrower. Mm-hmm. And unless you've been there, it is easier to defend. That's why the Eagles have struggled when they've got on the MCG, because the narrow...
It's a bit wider.
Yeah, and you can get through them. Mm-hmm. And their defence can be exposed on a wider ground, but they're going to be tough to beat over there. They won't lose many games. But their pressure at ground level, it doesn't do it justice on TV. They were in our face right from the start.
Yeah.
And that was why we were handballing too much. You'd look up and someone's in your face, you flip off another handball, and that's never going to work. But anyway.
And then does it become like perceived pressure? Yeah, even when it's not there, it's just, you know, you're thinking that you're under the pump.
Yeah, so there was a little bit of that going on. And you brought this point up, Tony, the 15-metre play-on.
Yeah.
I think that led to it a little bit as well. They were really strict on that.
They're really strict on it, and I think it just doesn't help. Then obviously, if you're down on confidence and you're trying to chip the ball around, and then the umpires are saying, "Well, play on, that's not 15," just puts you under more pressure and just compounds the issue. And also, they're really big on if you go off the line, they're calling play on as well. So they're I think that strict interpretation makes it a lot harder to chip the ball around now.
Going to have to adjust to that this week. So, what did you think, guys, with the votes?
Yeah, I think they were. I think the three were pretty much standouts, weren't they? I think we've probably all agreed on the three. It might have just maybe changed the order.
Yeah, and the three. Well, I gave three to Alex Rance, as we mentioned before. His job on Josh Kennedy, keeping him to two goals, is a pretty outstanding effort. And
went in, 60-odd times, 70 times.
That's right. Winning the one-on-ones, as you mentioned, was great. I gave two to Jack. Just kept presenting with the limited opportunities he had, and to finish with four goals is a pretty good return. And one vote to Trent Cotchin, who put in another solid game in what's been a solid year so far from him.
Yeah, he worked his backside off, didn't he?
That's right.
Big work rate for Jack.
Yeah, I had the same votes, three to Rance, two to Riewoldt, who incidentally went past Jack Dyer on the club's all-time goal-kicking list, so I think he's moved up into sixth place on the list, and one to Cotchin.
Yeah, I was the same, a little bit different order, three to Riewoldt. I thought I always favour the key forwards, but gee, he worked hard. And if it wasn't for him down there, it would have been a lot worse. Two to Rance, as we just spoke about, and Trent tried his butt off all night. And won plenty of hardball, but didn't have a lot of mates out there on the weekend. So the leaderboard, 15 Cotchin, 14 Rance, 11 to Martin, 9 to Lambert and Hawley.
So there, for all the criticisms he's copped, he's leading the award.
Yeah, unjustified.
Definitely.
Unwarranted.
Well, it is it's my segment.
Gee, you want to get into it.
It's my segment. I have to say I absolutely nailed it last week. I went with Jack last week.
Yeah. Who'd you go with this week? I didn't put it on the rundown.
No. I think you might have got it. Did you get it mixed up or not? Or were we both going for the same one?
No. I think the rundown's a bit...
Okay, yeah. Can you get the rundown right? I'll give you one simple job to do and you can't do it.
Well, since AC's left... You two blokes just sort of wander in here 5 minutes before the show, and I've got to do everything.
Oh, all right, Matty. Okay.
Come up and do something.
I'm going for Anthony Miles. We spoke about Milesy before and how well he went back at VFL level. I would expect...
Pretty obvious,
I would expect
thought.
He'll come... Why is it obvious? He may not come back in.
We will, of course.
I expect you to come back in, and if he does... It's obviously going to be very, very important against Melbourne to clearance. Win contested ball, clearance, and he will excel.
No, I don't mind that one. Well done.
Yeah. The tail's on board with you there for our Miles
the tail
as well.
What'd you do?
Last week I went Shane Edwards, and probably wasn't the best choice. No. He tried to get us back into it in the second half and got involved a bit more, but this week I've gone for Alex Rance. I sometimes like to bring some stats to the table.
That's brave.
It is brave, but sometimes you just need a win.
Yeah.
So no stats this week. Just last time out against Jesse Hogan, he got his colour.
He was touched up last time, wasn't he, when he was on Hogan? Yeah,
got his colours lowered. Mm-hmm. So he's a competitive man, and he'll have another crack.
I did butcher the rundown. So you're Shane Edwards last week, this week, Grant.
That's all right.
Now, boys, last week, you know how I like adding layers to this. Now, I added a layer last week and the week before.
Is this the same layer?
Dustin Martin would kick 3+ goals.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I did last week and the week before.
Yep.
So I'm telling you this week that Dustin Martin will kick 3
and
goals.
And if not, will he be for the Port Adelaide game? He'll be your yellow and black ball
special. Yes, I'm going to go with
it. So every week until he kicks 3 goals in the game, he'll be your yellow and black
special. Does that mean he owes us 9 goals?
No, only 3.
Yes.
That would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I am desperate for some midfield goals.
You're desperate.
So I'm just hoping that this week it is Dusty kicking 3+ goals.
Oh, so am I, because I couldn't put up with you going through this again next week.
I know.
Yeah. All right.
I'm looking forward to this one, Tone.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
It's a good sting there. Yeah.
Very good. It's better than Manfred Mann's.
It's got to go.
You were telling him how good it was.
Nah, we're going to change it next
time. Yeah, don't tell him. don't tell him. If you're out there, don't tweet him, Instagram him, or...
Oh, don't Instagram.
No, don't do anything like that. Anyway, so obviously Anzac Day on Monday, and we're playing, of course, Friday night and the Anzac Day Eve.
Sunday night.
Sunday night, yep. I just want to talk about a player, one of our players. We had four players that have been killed in action over the years. And I want to talk about Bill Nolan, who was killed in action 100 years ago, so in 1916. Now, Bill was a recruited to Richmond from the Brighton Juniors Football Club, made his senior debut with the club in the opening round of the 1914 season against St Kilda at the Junction Oval. He had an instant impact.
Didn't have to go far from Brighton to St Kilda, did he?
No, that's a good point. Probably walked
to his first
game. He probably did, yeah. He wouldn't have been getting a tram or...
They had trams back then.
Did they?
A horse and cart?
Oh, what, who did? You did? Sorry, apologise then. So he had an instant impact where he played 17 games in that 1914 season and he played another 13 in 1915 and then he headed to Egypt and France to serve his country in what was of course known as the Great War as it was back then. Now Bill was a strongly built ruckman and he was tough but was a scrupulously fair player.
I'd love to know how tall he was as a ruckman back then.
Well, I'm not sure if I've got that how but he would have been. He would have been about 6 foot. That would have been it.
It's amazing.
Because they weren't bigger than that.
No.
I mean, Jack Dyer was only about 6 foot, six foot one, you know, playing first ruck, anyway. His nickname was Barney. He was a great protector of his smaller teammates, and they always walked taller when he was around. And his job, funny, we mentioned about the tram, he was a tram driver. That was his job. He was a tram driver in Melbourne, and he reached the rank of sergeant in the Australian Imperial Force, as it was known back then. But on July 23rd, 1916, tragedy struck when Nolan died of wounds he received in France in battle. So and his death just shocked the football world. He was not only regarded as a top player with Richmond, but a man of wonderful character. And the Richmond Guardian correspondent, HR, paid a moving tribute to him. And I'll just look, I won't go through the whole tribute, but some of it. He said, "Big brave Bill Nolan is reported to have been killed in action. It does not need any superfluous words here to paint his splendid qualities. He was 25 years of age, he was actually 27. But as I knew him first only a few years ago, he was just a big, shy, innocent boy. He would stand around at times and listen to the talk, but it was seldom that Bill ever put an extra word in. But he was by no means unsociable. His career as a league footballer spread over only 2 years, but right from the beginning, he was phenomenally successful. In his very first game, he showed persistency and pluck that are essentials in a follower, and it was seen that he was going to be a tremendous help to the Richmond side. And it just goes on and on to describe his character and what a great person he was. So, 100 years ago, and wow. he's buried in the in France in that Eastern Cyrenian Boulogne
cemetery. And pay our respects to
we
all
do. We certainly do.
For Anzac Day coming
and current
up on
serving ones as
exactly.
Well.
Spot on. Yeah.
I can interrupt you.
Please, go.
I've got a tidbit of my own.
Yes.
Have you? Stemming from our chat with Manfred before and the Frankston Dolphins.
Oh, yes.
So when did they start, the Frankston Dolphins?
Well, what were we, 1885?
1885.
Because you scoffed at me when
scoffed.
I said...
No. Yeah. I didn't scoff at you. Go on. You go, JB. Go on. Tell us.
2 years later, 1887, the Frankston
Dolphins.
When
did they enter the VFA?
Well, they played in the Peninsula Footy League in 1908, Mornington.
When did they enter the VFA?
1933. VFA was 1966.
Right, so we were both right.
Okay.
We were both right.
But they've been around for a lot longer than you thought. You made out they were practically a new club, Frankston.
No, I did not.
You did. Like a GWS type new club.
Here he is painted on.
Anyway, give us a guess. I've got to get going.
Oh, okay. Oh, you got gigs?
I've got to go see Dimmer.
Okay, all
Dimmer's
right.
Dissection.
Oh, good. Okay. What do you call a donkey with three legs?
Not sure.
A wonky. my mate's bakery burned down last night.
Yeah.
That's now his business is toast. Why is Peter Pan no good at boxing?
Why?
Because when he throws punches, they never land.
Oh. Bit generous there, Sconner.
I'll leave you this one.
You been to dock?
Very quickly. No, I need to go. Oh, I do need. Bloke in a restaurant suddenly has a desperate urge to break wind. The music was really loud, so he decided to time his relief efforts to the beat of the music.
That's what I do in restaurants.
Well, you mentioned about a horse and cart before.
Yep.
After a few songs, he started to feel better. He finished his coffee and noticed that everyone was staring at him. That was when he remembered he was listening to his iPod.
Oh, I like that. Very good.
All right.
Well, that's another show.
Yeah. Mm. We need to make mention too. Our old mate.
AC.
Our old mate. He's 4 from 4 now, AC.
What do you mean? In wins?
No, Melbourne victory was eliminated in the elimination final. So he's 4 from 4.
Don't tell Muskie. He'll get the sack as well.
He's over in China now, so we wish him all the best, AC. Yeah.
Oh, well done, Tone. Thanks, JB.
Come on, Tigers. Lift. Talk to Tigers
for another week. Get there on Sunday night, Anzac Day Eve. It's a big game. We have to get the 4 points, and I think we will.